Blog Talk Radio.
JohnnyGiuliano.com.
The Edge and the lovely Sugar Brown.
Ooh, they say the best is the life for free.
So you ain't gotta pay for me.
Paper, plastic.
Yeah, paper, please.
Ooh, this ain't the best thing for life, for free.
So you ain't gotta pay for me.
Oh, paper, plastic.
Yeah, paper, please. I'm the best thing since MC Light. Lyrics rerun in your mind. DJ's gotta play me twice tonight. Back to back, let me make an impact with my raw flow, like you know the bread wet. Lauryn Hill flow for the miseducated. Black and white issues, so we still segregated. But I keep my views separated. It could all be so simple, but ignorance is complicated. I know you hate it when I spit the truth, cause all we hear about is money, bitches in the coupe. Mentally I cruise, flows elevated, mandated, cause these flows so outdated. A young mind still trying to make it, but distracted by sex, ads, and big faces. Well, it's the basis, living for no reason. If Dr. King was a nigga, he'd still be breathing.
Ooh, they say the best things are life for free.
So you ain't gotta pay for me.
Oh, pay for all plastic.
Yeah.
Yeah,
paper please, freeze. Let's take 2 moments of silence. One for religion and the other for politics. But damn, we need 3 for the violence. The hatred in our nature, and everybody's wildest. The less profiling, every picture smiling. This life is fixed for the powerful and rich. And what about the war that benefits real the men, but they don't get shit except for depressed or mentally insane. If you go away, change, how can you come back the same? You playing, but your focus ain't the game. You're in it to conquer while I'm in it to reign. My reign's buried, lyrically I'm buried. You can't rush creativity, so I don't hurry. My vision's blurry, focused on my movement. Like the Nike slogan, I just do it.
Ooh, this ain't the best thing for life for free.
So you ain't gotta pay for me.
Oh, pay for all plastic.
Yeah, oh, pay for please.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ooh,
my people, what are you doing? Look around, where you going? To say that time is running out. 2012 is in, so what are you all about?
She has a new book coming out on B-Wisdom Publishing, and that's, but anyway, tonight, my name's Rob Wilson with Cowboy Wisdom on the B-Wisdom Radio Network. Tonight, my guest is Shalyamit. She's an FT expert, and my tongue got tied really big. I think there's a that don't happen often. It happens good when it happens, but that's just kind of the way the whole month went. Everything's been tongue-tied and challenged, but I love it. And anyway, I want to introduce Shelly Amit to you right now. Hi, Shelly Amit. How are you?
I'm good, Bob. I have to help you say my name so it's easy for you.
Yes,
okay.
Shelly Amit.
So say, hold on a second. Say shoe fly.
Shoe fly.
La la la.
Say that again.
La la la. La la
la.
Meat and potatoes.
Meat
and potatoes.
Shall you meet? Shall we
meet? Shula meet. Shula meet.
Shula meet. I apologize for that. And I really try to be right on people's names. But anyway,
you know
Shelly,
what? You're not alone, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, but that's other people. I like being... People's names mean something to them. And if you pronounce it wrong, they say it doesn't, but inside it has a little twinge to it sometimes. But anyway, you do EFT techniques.
Yes.
But here's something else. You don't do just EFT techniques. You do it with a heart to expand people. That's what I've understood from. And anybody can do personal growth, and anybody can do this. But it takes a special person to do it with heart. And that's something I want to say to you, that you do it with heart. So tell them what EFT is for people that don't understand EFT.
Okay. EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Techniques. It is actually a process that derived from another process called thought field therapy. It was started by a cognitive psychologist named Roger Callahan. And Roger Callahan was having difficulty with one of his clients who had phobia about water. And no matter what he did, he couldn't seem to help her. So he thought to himself about the energy field. And for whatever reason, and I don't know the reason, he chose to start investigating what would happen if he tapped on certain energy points, certain meridians on the body. And he found that when he tapped on certain acupuncture points of leading meridians, as well as doing some certain brain balancing with rolling the eyes and humming and different things where it used the left brain and the right brain alternately, he was able to clear her phobia within the matter of minutes. And he was so stunned when she stood up and went right for the pool, because the session was in his home, probably in California, and he was terrified. He didn't know what was going on, and she said, "Don't worry, I know it's water. I'm not going to do anything stupid. I just don't have any fear anymore." So that experience was so stunning to him that he started using the process on all of his other clients. And he developed different patterns of tapping, and they were called algorithms. Now, TFT is still being used. However, for those of us who are more about the essence and really getting into the flow of things with our clients, algorithms get in the way. So his work, in essence, was based on the discovery that all negative emotion comes from a disturbed energy field. So if we could clear the charge while focusing on an issue that was creating that charge, it would neutralize it and the person would be free. Gary Craig, who was a personal performance coach, and at the time also he had come from an engineering background, so he was all about getting things to be as simple and elegant as possible, was one of his students. And he said, if all negative emotion comes from a disturbed energy field, then we shouldn't have to have different algorithms and patterns to tap on things. There shouldn't be one for craving for chocolate and another one for anger and another one for depression and another one for, I want to eat right now and I don't know what to do about it. All these different things that we go through managing ourselves and managing our stresses and managing the pain that we go through in our lives as part of living, he said, should have one algorithm. So he created a one-stop shop, and it incorporated everything possible in that one process. And he called it Emotional Freedom Techniques. And in the years through his process with working with EFT. He whittled it down. He was always experimenting, and that's something I really love about Gary. Well, Gary actually now retired, and so he's not involved in that anymore. But in his process of teaching, he was always saying, experiment. This isn't fixed in stone. See how it works for you. Experiment as a practitioner and see, do you need all these points? Do you need them? If you don't need them, then don't do them. And he was always about making things as simple and elegant as possible. At the same time, because he had a science background, always testing. So the work that I do, as much as it's led by my intuitive abilities, which are quite high, and my heart, are always based in science, so that I always look to where a charge is when we first start working with something and where it is when we end up, and then test it again when I see the person or when I do a phone session, because this work can be done just as effectively. Some people think they have to be with me, but they don't. All they need to do is be able to hear me, and the process is just as effective. And so I'm always checking scientifically, as objectively as possible, where were you then and where are you now? And so that's what Gary Craig created, and he called it emotional freedom techniques. And it actually expanded and went deeper and enhanced the work that Callahan was doing. And that's the work that I do.
Yeah, and you know, you said a lot of terrific things in there, but that, you know, the thing that everybody's trying to do in personal growth, and I use the word try on purpose, they're trying to get the conscious mind to lead, and really it's a subliminal, and that's what EFT does. It gets into the subliminal and breaks the frequency so you can allow new to come in. Do you feel that?
Absolutely. I think that's really beautifully said. What we're learning is that we are actually informational fields within informational fields, and that as a concept is very out there for some people. But if we look at the fact that a man from Yale, a professor of medicine called Saxon Burr, with a very simple machine called a voltmeter, was able to measure the voltage of living organisms and discovered through his research that everything that is alive has an energetic field to it. So human beings have an energy field, and that field is the result of the workings of our chemistry, our thoughts, and our feelings. And what he found was that whenever there was he went into different areas to study. So one of the places he went to is in medical clinics, and he was working with people who were having cancer and having eruptions of cancer. And he noticed that right before there was an eruption of a cancer, there was a change in the energy field in that area. There was a change of voltage in that area. He also did research in mental health facilities and mental hospitals, and in doing the research there, he noticed that if somebody was saying, oh, we're going to be transferring this person out, we think that they're ready to be transferred, he would be able to let them know if there was a voltage change. He could predict that there was going to be an emotional breakdown, and sure enough, he was right. So he noticed that right before an eruption, there was a voltage change. So this energy field that we have is electrical in nature and is led very much by the heart, which is an electrical organ. Most people know that about that. You know, when you have a heart attack, you get an electrical shock to your heart if it stops, and we pick up the electricity from the heart in different parts of the body, the arms and the legs. So it's electrical in nature, and if we have any problems, we get electrolytes in the summer. So that's a pretty common understanding right now. What we know is that we have a field, and what we're learning is that the subconscious mind is actually part of the energy field of a human being. And so that energy field has information. That's why we're called informational fields. And in coming time, we'll be talking about how to help people heal by giving them the correct information, correcting the misinformation that's inside them. And so the subconscious mind is an energy field. And I look at it very much, and I think the metaphor is more true than not, as a CD that we are born with that is there to download all of the programs that we need in order to become a human being, because we come from formlessness. And so when we come into life formless, we don't know what it's like to be a human being. So we're set up with these basically internal experiences of looking at our caregivers as gods. So we meet our mom god and our dad god, let's say, and we have our CD, and we start downloading all of these programs. This is a man, this is a woman, this is a relationship, this is sexuality, this is success, this is health, this is religion, these are strangers, and on and on and on and on, through school, through radio, through all the things around us that give us information. And we don't ask for them. You know, today I was, just to take a moment away from that, today I was working with a client of mine. This was our second session, and she was talking about how she was very much like her father. She has understandable anger at her mother. She feels like her mother wronged her, and she said, "I don't like my mother." At the same time, she was giving me a list of things that she felt that she got from her mother that were good things, including morality and values and so on. And then she said, "Oh, but I'm nothing like my mother." And I said, "Well, I hate to tell you, but you have things about you that are like your mother that are both positive and negative, even though you don't want them. You didn't get to choose. We just literally magnetize these patterns with our feelings. So we get attached to something, whether we have a positive feeling about it or a negative feeling about it, that serves to attach that program, in essence, to our CD. And then what we do is, at around 7 years old, we get our laptop, and our CD goes into the laptop. Basically, our laptop is our conscious mind, and we open our laptop, and there we have this screen. And the screen is our life vision. And what typically ends up happening is that we go, you know, do-do-do-do-do, we go through life, and then we start hitting bumps. We get the wrong mate, or we get the wrong boyfriend, or we get the wrong money, or we get the wrong job, or things don't go the way we want them to. And we start getting angry. And if you look at a program, let's say, as a word program, which most people know by now, so I'll use that. So we have this word program in our computer that's not working correctly. It's glitching the printer. It's crashing the computer. And we're getting really, really frustrated. And then what ends up happening is we start yelling at the program. "What's wrong with you? You keep crashing the computer. You keep glitching my printer. You're always doing this to me. What's wrong with you?" And that is basically screaming at the screen. It really is not going to help change the program. So then typically what happens is that person then starts sharing that frustration with their friends. "It happened again. My printer got screwed up again. The computer was glitched again." And then over time, the friends typically say, "Well, why don't you go to a psychotherapist?" Okay, so now the person goes to a psychotherapist who basically turns the computer around and says, let's say the person's name is Mary. "Oh, Mary, see, it's a 2008 Microsoft Word document program." And so Mary says, "Oh, Mrs. Smith, thank you. I didn't know that. That's information for me." And then the therapist goes on to say, "And this is Excel, and this is Quicken, and this is Note Taker, and this is this, and this is that," and goes through the whole thing of telling Mary all about her programs. And Mary gets very educated about her programs because she's using her conscious mind, right? And she hasn't changed a thing. So then what happens, depending on the circles that Mary hangs out with, may say, "You know what, you need to do affirmations." And affirmations is you're going to be talking to your program in the future. You see how you want it to be, so you're talking as if it's in the future, in the present, and you're going to be very, very sweet and very loving, and you're going to speak to it, okay? So Mary turns her computer around and says very lovingly as she looks in her 2008 Microsoft Word document program eyes, "You never glitch my computer. You always print beautifully. In fact, you pick the fonts for me. You even write the text for me. You know exactly even before I do. It doesn't change a thing." And I have had people sit in my office and heard people on the phone going, "I've done affirmations for years, and it's not doing anything for me. I must not be doing it right. It seems to work for everybody else." No, it doesn't work for everybody else the way you think it does. Affirmations are not what you think they are. You can't affirm something that is not true as being true, because you're coming from the conscious mind. And what we need to do, if we're going to change a program, is we need to get to the subconscious mind, which means we have to get to that CD. And the only way that we can get to that CD is to get it out of the computer. If we're going to try and get to that program, we need something that's going to have a laser point that's going to find that program that's the issue. And because it's an energetic CD, we need an energetic eraser. Then, if we've done that, then as far as I'm concerned, we don't really need an affirmation. It's fine, you can install one. But I feel that we come from the most divine affirmation that there is. And I'll call that God. Other people will call it what feels right to them. But there's a frequency of being that wants to plenty for us, that has birthed us as possibility, and that has birthed us with limitless capacity to have what we want and to have the love that we want and be able to love with tremendous generosity. And that's just the fact. So that when we clear those programs that are getting in our way, I believe we don't need to install affirmations, because we come from the most divine affirmation there is. But that's the piece of work that we do. And what I find is that people talk about, like, I did a radio show about a week ago, and one of the callers who called in, he said, one of the things he said is, you know, I realized that there were certain behaviors I needed to change, and, you know, I realized that they were negative behaviors I got from my dad, and so I kept talking to myself, and, you know, after 2 years of, like, really intensely paying attention, you know, I was able to start behaving differently, and my wife noticed it. And, you know, I gave kudos to that guy. I mean, that was wonderful that he cared enough about his family and that he cared enough about himself to want to grow. But it took 2 years, because it was as if you're trying to touch the water under a bridge with your hand. And you're sitting in a car that's standing on the bridge, and the water is underneath the bridge. You can put your hand out as much as you want. You're not going to reach the water. You need to get that car off the bridge. You need to get into a boat. You need to get that boat into the water. And then when your boat is in the water, then you reach out your hand. And with the work that I do, it's not as much about reaching the hand into the water, because there are a lot of processes that can get to the subconscious mind. It's the artful way of moving the hand in the water that creates the magic. But it's absolutely, as you say, that we have to get to the subconscious mind. And this man who worked so hard, 2 years, could have done the same thing for himself without that incredible effort in several sessions of EFT.
To me, NLP is the most powerful there is, because it makes it question itself, and that's the only way you get to everything. I understand EFT. I've never really been in, but NLP, it's very strong also. But here's the thing.
All right, I agree with you, Rob, completely, because I use NLP in marriage with my EFT work, and NLP is incredibly powerful.
Now, when you use it, I use hypnosis with NLP, you use EFT, same thing. You know, different
mm-hmm.
things, but NLP really, to me, but this is something else I really starting to understand, is we have such a poverty conscious mindset and a poverty DNA from history. You also got to enliven that DNA along with the subconscious. And that's what, see, in that frequencies that you're, what EFT does, it breaks that current. We're a 48-volt current, and it snaps that current. And when you're snapping that current, you're stopping the subconscious mind from running, and it's allowing the new in. That's what
yeah.
it does.
Yeah, absolutely. It allows the new. I love the way you put that. It allows the new in. It's beautiful the way you put that.
And see, here's the thing. And when I write to snap and pop the subconscious mind. I use words that make the subliminal go, wow. And that, in an affirmation, I am great. Well, what are you great at? You know, I'm just conferring with what you said. But when you
mm-hmm.
sit down and write your vision and put some words in there that snap it and give it some power, then your subliminal mind can grab a hold of that. And that's what you're saying. An affirmation just to say I'm great doesn't really say anything. But when you go, I am great because I took action and expanded through something, it gives you an outcome.
If you're saying an affirmation based on something that you've done, then you're affirming a fact, right? But typically,
yeah.
here's the way affirmations work. This CD that we have where we download everything, I say it's a rewritable CD. But there's one program on it that's not rewritable, and that says that the universe must prove all of your beliefs, all the experiences on that CD correct. It must prove you correct. So no matter what, you're right. Now, if you're affirming that you're, let's say a person is trying to lose weight, and they're saying, I easily lose weight, I easily choose the foods that are right for me, but there's another voice in there that says, oh yeah, who are you kidding, you fat slob? You're always eating garbage. That's the real affirmation. And so I always teach people, pay attention for the second voice. If in what you're saying, Rob, that, you know, I've done this wonderful thing, like you said, you're affirming something that you've done, you've followed through on something, and there's no other voice that says, you did it this one time, you may not be able to do it again, or whatever the second voice might be. And in EFT, we call them tail enders. Then that's wonderful. There's a follow-through, and that's great. But typically what happens is that there's a tail-ender, and that people feel and have been taught, and I call this spiritual correctness, that you're just going to push through and disregard the fact that internally there's another voice that's coming up. You're going to deny it. You're going to ignore it. You're going to push it through. And unfortunately, that doesn't work. Because internally you know that other part of you is basically feeling like an imposter. Wait a minute. You know, you're saying that you easily lose weight, but clearly you're not even getting off the couch. So when we deal with things like that with EFT, we're actually tapping on the tail ender. That's the piece that we really want. So whether it's about money, whether it's about losing weight, whether it's about eating or relationships or whatever thing that we're affirming that we want in our lives, we always have to pay attention for what it is that we hear that comes right after the affirmation, whether it's, oh, yeah, or yes, yeah, sure, or that's for other people, or there's no way, it's never happened yet. You know, I've certainly had that in my history. Well, it hasn't happened yet, so how do I know? So the thing is that in EFT, what we do is we don't go out of our way to find the rosy, you know, red colors. We don't go out of our way to find a reframe immediately, because that's not going to really be accepted until we believe it, and we don't believe it until we feel, you know, it has a place for it in the subconscious mind. So we look for that tail ender, and we tap on the tail ender. So first we would be tapping on, even though I find myself always getting the wrong food, even though I can't seem to get off the couch, even though, you know, even though my computer is always being crashed by this program inside me, in essence, you know, I deeply and completely accept myself anyway. We said that's the affirmation that we do use all the time, because when we say I deeply and completely accept myself, as we're tapping, it activates the heart center, and that governs the heart. And the heart is the electricity governing body of the organ. And so when we do that, we start our energy flow moving, and then we can get work done. If we have a conflict inside us and we just start tapping without looking at, you know, saying I deeply and completely accept myself even though I have this issue, then what tends to happen is we short circuit, and then nothing moves forward. So that's the only difference between, I would just say, in terms of how EFT works with affirmations. Other than that, I mean, affirmations are really wonderful, but they have to land. If they don't land, they have no use.
I really don't write affirmations. I write a vision. I don't really believe. See, life is a vision, and that's what I write visions. I just use that because when you use the word because, it sends a subliminal landscape into action. But I use a whole different thing in my daily life, and it's just when I'm going through life and I feel the energy shift, I just say, where's this old pattern and how do I fissure it, and what's my highest pathway into this is where I choose to be.
I'm interested in what you said about because. Can you say more about that?
When you say the word because, your subliminal grabs onto that. See, we use too many words in the physical world that have no meaning to the subliminal. You got to use words that pop that subliminal landscape. Because, so, yet. I'm doing good, but it ends.
Mm-hmm.
But I am expanding because I'm looking for my highest outcome. See how that works?
Yes. So you're basically supporting it. You're supporting it by saying because, and then you're giving evidence to it.
That's it. And the word because is—it's like it's being an omnipotent peace because I choose to experience life in this moment and no more. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And because brings it to the moment.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
And see, I agree with you with affirmation. I'm great. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Well, you're great, all right. You're doing this, but you're hunkered down on the couch and got couch potato-itis.
Exactly.
And see, I understood what you were saying, and I agree with you in affirmation, but I have really come to understand where I want to write a vision of my day, and I write it with words that make my mind open out. It makes me open out in my eyes. And so I'm looking for the goodness of the day. And that's the way I start. And
that's
EFT,
wonderful.
But EFT, the thing about EFT that people don't understand, it short circuits a negative or a positive, but it short circuits the meridian. And when you're short circuiting the meridians and you got a new thought right at that moment, or a new premise, or an enterprising energy, I call them, it goes right in. That's what EFT does in a lot of people. I've done Tap Point, so I understand some of this.
And you're also from the perspective of your background, which you were telling me you know about the electricity field. I mean, literally in a deep way, you know, that's a field that you've been in. And so you're able to bring more knowledge to how that works, which is so wonderful. I just get to see it empirically because of the work that I do with people and the successes, but to be able to break it down and hear that it short circuits and how it works from your perspective is a really wonderful thing to hear.
And see, that's why, see, you said two things in here, and I want people to pay really close attention to what you said. You said two things in there that makes sets you apart from every other practitioner out there. You said with heart. You get it to the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And you do it with heart. Them two things is where it's all at. You know, and when you can short-circuit it, you're actually opening the chakras because, you know, electricity goes out 120 volts. If it goes through a transformer or a, like, you know, fluorescent lighting, you know, or it goes through a ballast, it goes in 120 volts, it'll come back out 180 volts. It's harmonic. And that's what EFT does. It's really a harmonic. It comes in at 10 volts and comes out 120.
Now, let me ask you something. Now, you have me curious, Rob, so I'm hoping you're going to let me ask you a question since I don't have the understanding and expertise that you do, and that is, how do you explain the fact that, because we're also able to, and I've had to do this with clients, let's say, who were in pain, physical pain, and they couldn't actually physically tap, what I did was I would tell them where to go with their mind on those points. So instead of actually tapping on those points, they would use their intention to go to each of those points. I do it kinesthetically at times. Certainly if I'm tired at night, I don't want to start tapping on myself if I can't get my mind to shut down. I go from place to place kinesthetically neutralizing the points. Other people do it visually. They imagine somebody tapping or themselves tapping. What do you think is underneath the fact that that succeeds almost as much, not as much, but almost as much to clear issues as when you actually tap? What does that do to the frequencies when you do it with your mind?
I'm going to go into something that I'm really not there yet, but it's really something I understand totally. So when you take your eyes, you're having them do it with their eyes, right?
No, they could have their eyes closed. I mean, if I'm working out, I close my eyes and I go from point to point inside me.
But they're doing it with their mind, right?
Yes, they're doing it with their mind, absolutely.
The right eye and the left eye, your right eye is your male energy and your left eye is your female energy. And when you shut them, you put a point back here in the back of your head called the reticular activation system.
Okay.
And you activate all the energy from your mind to that point.
Okay.
And you're focusing on that point and your whole body goes to that point. That's just like tapping because your mind gets focused on the area. And that's what happens. When you can put all your energy towards one thing, your energy goes there and it relieves it. And you said something earlier. See, we have ingrained imprints in that CD you call it. I call it ingrained imprints in my subliminal landscape, and that's where the fusion has to happen. We say the same thing. You use CD. I use. See, the words don't matter. It's the meaning. But when you get people to focusing on something, they can relieve the pressure because they're relieving the pressure in themselves.
Right. And I do want to, I always have to take a moment to do this. I did this on your other radio show, to say EFT is an incredibly powerful process, and it is deceptively simple to do. Deceptively simple to see, you know, it's all over the internet on videos everywhere. And unfortunately, people don't honor the power of it that they should. I tell everybody, please, please, please do not do your own deep work because there's a reason why your personality structure is in your subconscious mind. It is helping you get from day to day, dealing with conflicts, dealing with issues, dealing with results of traumas, whatever you've dealt with. And when you just go pulling on something, you may actually destabilize yourself, and you could have symptoms that could be very uncomfortable for you. So I strongly suggest, and I do this in writing and in every show that I do, that you do not do your own work, that if something is coming up for you that you want to work on, that you find an expert. You can call me. We'll give you the contact information. You can contact somebody else, an expert who does this work. I'm not saying don't do it for yourself in terms of basic stressors, things like that, or if you have a headache or something simple. But if you're going to be doing your own deep, profound, transformational work, you want to do it with somebody who is trained. I just want to take a moment out to say that, because I know that processes of NLP, you don't have that kind of potential backlash. There is a potential of that, and that's why we always need to give a caveat about that, and I feel like that's not done, and that feels irresponsible to me. So as a practitioner, that's really important for me, is to be responsible and to make sure that people hear that.
Well, that's very true, because, see, sometimes you start asking these NLP questions, they take you into a place you've never been, and once that question's asked, the subliminal is going to go with the question. It
mm-hmm.
really is.
Right.
And see, that's why I like things together. And you know, something I've learned about fear, I'll share that with you. I learned something this weekend. I moved from San Antonio back up to Washington State. And on the way home, this hit me. And I was going to bounce this off you. It goes like this. How are my fears seeds of wisdom opening out to understand fear is my friendly, expanding affluence, realizing omnipotent peace within me.
I just have to take a deep breath when you said that. Okay, because you said a lot. So I want to hear it again.
How is my fears, my seeds of wisdom, opening me out to understand fear is my friend, expanding affluence, realization that I live in omnipotent peace. Or open me out at peace. See, that, you know, similar questions like that, they take the angst out of it. So you start looking for your fears because of wisdom.
You know what that reminds me of, Rob? It makes me think of there are children who are born with a particular disease. I can't remember the name of it. And it's very, very uncommon, but there's no pain receptors. There's no pain response. And so they go around smashing themselves and breaking their bones and hemorrhaging internally because they don't feel any pain response. And I believe that our pain and our fear are a way of our getting our own attention to say, okay, there's something here. It's like a car with a red light that's letting you know that there's something wrong. And unfortunately, in our society, we medicate fear away. You know, I talk to people that have post-traumatic stress disorder or depression or anxiety or OCD or, you know, various things that, you know, have labels. To me, everything is just called stuck energy. I don't judge it or, you know, put labels on it. But those are the medical labels, and, you know, I use that for people because they understand it. But all of that is medicated often, and it shuts the red light, but the car is still running with an issue. And to me, what I hear when you say that your fear is your wisdom expressing itself on some level and pointing you to what's possible for you is that it's a way of waking you up out of sleep and saying there's something wrong. And in that way, I totally agree with you that fear is a tremendous friend. And, you know, when you pay attention to it and ask it in whatever way feels right, what is it you're trying to tell me? What is it that this red light is about in my car? which by, you know, by the way, I just happened to have that problem before I got on the phone tonight as I, you know, was thinking the third time that the lights went on seemingly by themselves, so now I have a dead engine. You know, there's definitely something wrong with my car. And I can't medicate it away because I can't move the car now. And that's what ends up happening is that people in our society, and I'm a nurse, so I understand the whole medical paradigm and the quick fix attitude of things. You know, let's medicate it. Let's just pretend. Let's cut the cord that shows the red light. And now the red light isn't on anymore, and therefore you can just go around your day and feel fine until something hits the fan, or you start having an arrhythmia, or you start having major arthritis, or you start having major asthma, or you have psoriasis that won't stop, or you start having deeper depression, you know? So that's, you know, that's just a tangent on what you said, but that makes me think of that, that in essence, our pain can be our biggest friend. Our fear can be our biggest friend if we pay attention.
You know, anything that comes from the internal side of you is a seed of wisdom waiting to express itself into your life.
That's lovely.
And that's, you know, the thing, you know, I'm going to ask you this because this is something I'm really opening out to, and then we got to give out all your information. The biggest fear, there's two fears people encompass that they're really afraid of. One is wealth and success. But the first one to me is trust in their own abilities and their own wisdom to move through life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's where an EFT practitioner, hypnotherapist, somebody that can get to that little thing that happens between the womb and 5 years old, usually. It's right there.
Well, you know. Yeah, when in our society, we have a false humility. See, not only are we downloading things from our parents and our teachers, but we're downloading things from our society. One of the things that I talked about in the other radio show was that we download sexism, racism, and ageism. We don't ask for it. We download it. It's part of our teaching in our society. Whether we like it or not, that's there. And again, ignoring it does not make it go away. It's not politically correct. It's actually not intelligent because what we need to do is own what is there and claim it and say, you know what, this is really happening, and now I can do something about it, because otherwise we don't bring it to consciousness. We push it away from us, right? Like the shadow, like Carl Jung talks about the shadow, right? But in our society, what we do is we teach a false humility. So part of our society, if not only in our family, part of our society teaches us that we shouldn't toot our own horn, that we shouldn't really endorse ourselves, that we shouldn't feel confident, that we shouldn't celebrate our abilities, our accomplishments. Yet it's quite all right for us to turn around, project it outwards into idol worship, and look at American Idol on TV and vote for the people that had the courage to do the things that we were taught not to do, which is to stand up and celebrate our being and everything that we are gifted with. So I think that's major in our society. And then on top of that, it's also in religion, the download in many religions, that you shouldn't stand up that way, that it's not considered acceptable to say good things about yourself, to endorse yourself, to feel proud of yourself, that you should denigrate yourself. And then on top of that, then if you have families that you're born into that you download, it's like a triple whammy. And I'm the exact opposite. I'm always endorsing. I'm always celebrating. That's why when I say on my website, I can't wait to see you fly, it's because I love to watch people shine. I love to watch people claim the hugeness of their being. I absolutely adore it. I love it. And so my whole desire is I'm going to model it for you. If I feel really proud about something about myself, I'm going to model it. And I'm going to say, you know, I did this and this, and I feel really great about it, you know. And that gives permission for my clients to feel really wonderful about something. I worked with this young woman for several sessions. She comes from the Philippines. And in the Philippines, the culture is you're never too thin and you're never too white. And you can never talk well about yourself. You always have to insult yourself, and you always have to insult others. And I had her by the end of the sessions, I think we did six. At the end of the six sessions, I had her stand in the center of my office, and I said, tell me everything wonderful about you, everything that you're proud about. And she got a little bit nervous, you know, so we tapped the nervousness down. And as she was telling me, and I was saying, yes, and what else, and what else, and then she blurted out, and I'm pretty. And the tears just fell down her face. And I said, what's bringing the tears? And she said, because I believe it. It was an incredible moment.
And see, that's the thing. Even if you go back through your school years, you see where people, they get berated down and then they quit trying. And you talked about medicated society, but before we get into that, let's give out all your information, Shulamit, and then we
can
go forward.
I'll give my phone number if anybody would like to get in touch with me. My office number is 973-259-1988. Again, that's 973-259-1988. It's 24/7, so you can leave a message anytime, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. And my website is www.limitfreeself.com. That's L as in Larry, I, M as in Mary, I, T as in Thomas, F as in Frank, R as in Railroad, E, S as in Sam, L as in Larry, F as in Frank.com, limitfreeself.com. And you can also email me at Shulamit Lazarus, which is my whole name, at limitfreeself.com, and I would love to hear from you.
You know, you got something in there called free. You know what free stands for?
Tell me.
Figuring old, worn-out paradoxes, releasing old patterns, engaging in who you are, expanding your wisdom, energizing your focus, unleashing your enterprising utopian to experience life your way. See, that's what it means.
I love it. I didn't know that, but you know what? I love it. It's brilliant. I totally accept it.
Okay. But that's what free means. And,
yeah.
And when you do that with words, it opens up. But you was talking about a medicated society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, and I'm going to ask you, to me, we're so medicated we can't innovate no more.
That's an interesting point.
But here's the thing. There's 2 to 10% of the people in this country will lead us out of this where we're at right now. And it's going to be people like you, Shulamit, that do this because we have foresight and you have a mission to expand the wisdom and the wealth of the world. And that is the same thing why we do this radio show, is to expand the wealth of the world. That's wisdom, expanding, affluence, living today harmoniously in your desired life. And that's what if you're listening, that's what Shulamit told you and expressed to you today. So if you ever choose to expand your life, go to limitfreeself.com and talk with Shulamit and let her expand your life. And I really want to appreciate that because there's very few people that do this with heart, but with a genuine, heartful way she does it. And if you're listening, that's what you see. So anyway, Shulamit, when somebody chooses to engage in your services, they're getting somebody that's did their own journey, haven't they? You've done your inner journey, and that's where you set you apart. And that's what really does it. So how do you get people to look inside themselves and understand the great person they have in there?
Well, you know, a lot of people want something in their life, and they're at the edge of it. They get to a certain point, and they don't get any farther. And I can't get that person to come to me. But when a person is at a point in their life where it's more painful to stay in their comfort zone than it is to move forward into the unknown and really find out what it is that's stopping them, then what I do is I have them focus in on the issue. And quite often, if you just focus in on your body, it starts giving you information. We're always running to outside of ourselves. If we pay attention to our body, if we allow an image to form for the issue and begin to have a dialogue with the issue, we can get information. There are all sorts of technologies that we have, like NLP, like interactive guided imagery, like EFT, that will help somebody find out what it is that's going on inside them. And then I think in terms of clearing blocks, EFT is amazing. I think in terms of exploring where issues are coming from, I use interactive guided imagery. It allows me, you know, if I was talking about a weed, and that weed has taken over the inner landscape and is robbing the person of sun and of rain that they're supposed to get for their own plants, and meanwhile they're basically feeding this unwanted guest, so to speak. Sometimes we can get the root out. Sometimes we want to know where the root's coming from. Well, getting the root out is what EFT does in a way that I've never seen. Homeopathy lops the plants down in size in large amounts, but I find that homeopathy, and I'm a homeopath, doesn't allow me to get the root out the way EFT does. But EFT does not allow me necessarily to always know where a root is coming from. I use interactive guided imagery to find that out. And then I'm also an auditory and a kinesthetic intuitive, so it allows me even to get information beyond that quite often before somebody even talks about something. I'm already starting to get information about what the issue is about. So I feel very blessed to be able to bring science and my intuitional mind together with these gifts and help people move their issues very quickly.
And see, that's, you know, the thing is, it's the DNA in the subliminal landscape is where the flowers have to be planted. The seeds of wisdom have to be planted to expand. And you said something in there that was really very astute. Outside sources. As soon as you go to an outside source, you're ingraining the I can't in you. Do you feel that?
Yeah, it's always giving up the power, giving up power. But I want to say that some people feel that going to a practitioner is giving up power, yet that person just as easily will find a book. No, it's very hard to find your own issues. We all have a blind spot, and there's no shame in that. We're all created with a blind spot because we need to be able to need each other so that society continues forward. Otherwise, we would be isolated within ourselves, and we'd become little islands, and everything would die out. So there's a perfection even in our having a blind spot, because then we need to reach out and ask somebody else, can you reach that spot on my back? Because I just can't get there.
You know, the thing is you think you see it and you really don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I made a deal with myself about 8 years ago. I said every blockage, everything that's holding me back from being where I desire is coming out.
That is a wonderful commitment to yourself.
And I made that deal with myself, and I said, I don't care what it is, how it is, it's coming out.
Yep.
There's something good coming back in. See, you can't pull it out without putting in the seed. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that I believe that we have intrinsically within us that power that we don't know about, and sometimes that's enough for us. If we just get rid of the other programs that are preventing us from seeing our beauty and experiencing our beauty, that's enough. And then when we start to flower, that just takes off on its own.
And I want to thank Shulamit Lazarus for being my guest, everybody in the chat room and everybody on the... We got 10 seconds, Shulamit. Anyway, give them some words of wisdom and we'll close the show.
Okay. Well, I would say to everybody that you can have what you want. You have to want it enough to commit to yourself to do the work to get there. Nobody's going to do that for you. You have to show that you care enough about yourself and allow yourself to move out of your comfort zone. That's the most important thing. Once you put one foot out, then the excitement will start to build, and it'll lead you to the next step and the next step and the next step. That's what you're meant to do. You're always meant to move farther. That divine discontent was put in you for a reason. You're meant to reach. Don't be afraid to reach and ask for help if you need it.
Shulamit, I want to really thank you for being on, and everybody in the chat room and everybody on the phone line. It's been my honor and privilege.
Thank you so much, Rob. It was wonderful to hear the things that you said. You percolated new ideas in me. I'm going to think about because.
Well, it just makes an action word on the inside, and that's where the action has to. That's where you choose to have the action. Anyway, good night. And tomorrow night, the Raptor Center from Montana, where they operate on eagles and big birds, and it's a nonprofit. It's going to be interesting, just like this show was. And give Shulamit a call if you choose to expand your life.
Thank you so much,
night.
Rob. Have a wonderful night.
I already have.
Bye-bye.
You've been my guest. All the people on the phone lines and chat room, there, it's been great. Good night.
Thank you. Thanks, Rob. Now I've got to go wonder about my car.
There's always something, isn't there?